Hello, everybody, and welcome to Horror Movie Yearbook. My name is Tim, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Mr.
Willie Gibbs.
Welcome, Willie.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good. I'm glad it's good to be here.
Yeah. We got a nice scented candle in the center of the table here.
A little ambiance this week.
Very, very, very sensual stuff.
Yeah, we stepped it up.
It smells good. What blend is that?
This is...
What scent are we
scenting? It's got to be Bath & Body Works.
Vanilla Blossom.
Vanilla Blossom. Yeah. I'll pick that out.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Very soothing.
We've got a cabinet full of those.
Oh, man.
Like
a plethora of candles here. Wow.
Well, they're more in the drawer, actually.
Wow.
There's a whole drawer that's full of them.
There's a pretty significant amount of candles going on here. That's awesome. Good.
Yeah. So.
Wonderful. It's always good to have a scented candle. We have some sort of Midnight Merlot or something like that.
Very nice.
Very nice.
We got a whole bunch of Halloween, fall scented candles. And there's one from Bath & Body Works called Vampire Blood.
Oh, I like that.
That's very cool.
That's cool. There you go. A little horror-themed candle. They had so when Resident Evil 7, not the movie, but the game.
Yeah.
Was coming out, they sent out like press packets for the game. And they had blood-scented candles to give the reviewers a 4D experience. And I'm like, that is heinous.
Yeah, right?
I almost wish I could get my hands on one, though, just to like burn it to see
how
gross it is. So, if anybody has one of those and wants to send one to us, just get a hold of us.
You have no idea how happy I am that we're finally talking about candles on this show.
Yeah, it needed to happen at some point.
I am a fan of candles.
Candles are very gothic, you know?
They are. Yeah. Not so much Vanilla Blossom.
No, I don't think Clive Barker is burning that one.
He might. Clive, on like a spring day? Oh, come on now.
He's a big softie. He's a big softie sometimes.
Welcome to Horror Movie Yearbook. We're going to talk about horror movies here in a little bit. Actually, we're kind of going to.
Sort of.
Yeah. First, I want to throw out Midwest Game Nerds podcast, episode 59. I did a little homework this week and actually researched what they are covering on the show this week.
And?
Guardians of the Galaxy, episode 1, and Wonder Boy.
Awesome.
Sounds
cool.
The Dragon's Trap.
They both look pretty great.
Yeah, Wonder Boys is a Switch game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an old game. I think it's like a revamp.
Yeah, it's they're bringing Wonder Boy back.
Good.
Yeah, for this new generation. We should say, I think that at some point, one and or both of us in the near future will be appearing on the Midwest Game Nerds podcast.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Friday the 13th game.
Yeah, and we'll let you know when we know.
Because I'm now picking that up the day it comes out.
Yep, me too.
Yep, so... I wasn't sure if the single player was going to be included because I can't read.
I think we'll be murdering each other that night.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
And then after we can watch Streets of Fire, which comes out the same day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Quite a day.
Will, you been watching anything?
Yeah. You know what? I have not been watching many movies lately.
Yeah.
Obviously, this week is a little different for us, so we're not talking about any specific movies.
Yep.
So it's been strange for me. What I have been doing is watching a lot of professional wrestling.
Now, we can tie this into horror movies because something recently just happened.
Yes. For those of you who do not watch professional wrestling, there is a horror-themed character named Bray Wyatt, who is essentially a kind of a backwoods Louisiana cult leader. But he gets into some weird ghosty mystical stuff. Like, he's had, like, phantom children show up in the ring to scare John Cena, America's hero. And he's had, like, guys in sheet masks attack people.
Worms in the ring.
Worms projected onto the ring. He's been a pretty scary guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He never wins, though.
Nope. He's a lot like a slasher movie villain. He's a lot like Freddy Krueger. He's all talk, and then he usually gets his ass kicked by a teenage girl. So, he had what they referred to as a House of Horrors match.
Yeah.
Which, as it turned out, was basically just, like, a quaint little farmhouse. Nice little farmhouse. A little bit of a fix-me-up, fixer-upper type situation.
It's actually on sale right now for $36,000.
Oh, wow. Where's that?
Good question. I would assume out in California because the pay-per-view was in San Jose. So I think it's out there. But I saw a listing. Someone posted a story about it being listed for
$36,000.
That's a steal. So they just went and filmed in this for sale.
Nice.
House, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fixer-upper, but it could be a nice little
house. Yeah, they have tractors driving by themselves.
Yeah. It's kind of really spooky stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
It was.
It's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a television screen.
I thought it was pretty bad, too.
Yeah.
And I was, like, legitimately excited for it because you don't do that without being goofy. And, like, all they did, they had the tractor part was
there was funny. A haunted tractor.
The haunted tractor was good.
Yeah.
And then I believe they're called Reborns.
Yeah, they're
he
like
a lot of
the dismantled dolls.
Or, like, reborn dolls.
Yeah.
And, like, he had them hanging up. But it was, like... you may have been able to pull that off as creepy. He had them like hanging from the ceiling, these dolls, that were like painted and like, but you may have, but it was lit so weird that like they just look like he hung a bunch of dolls up.
It was really,
why does he have these dolls?
It was bad. I just like to think about him like taping them up.
Right.
Like, it's putting like, all the work into it.
It's like my favorite part of the Punisher movie.
Yeah.
Where the Punisher logo lights on fire and all I want is a deleted scene of him parking the cars into his logo.
Yep.
So I exactly. want a scene of Bray Wyatt hanging up all those.
Like stapling them to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. All in all, it was pretty bad. But yeah, kind of funny.
A little bit. Yeah.
Better than most of the Hellraiser movies.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, and Randy Orton rode a limo. The other guy in it, Randy Orton, rode a limo with his shirt off.
Yeah. Wait, did you notice, by the way, the last thing I want to say about this is this is how little, I should say, that company cared about this match.
Yeah.
Obviously, they shot the House of Horrors aspect earlier, either in the day or the weekend, okay? And if you noticed, Mr. Randy Orton had quite a bit of scruff. And then later they came to the ring, which was, they pretended was the same, you know, moments later, and he was like clean shaven. It was the stupidest thing. Like, did he shave on the drive over?
Yeah, I almost like it for that stunning lacking of giving a shit.
Did not care.
Yeah. But I was mostly bored during it. They just fought for a while in this house. Eh, whatever.
I laughed a lot.
Yeah, what can you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been, I watched The Thing. Willie, have you seen The Thing? John Carpenter's The Thing?
I have seen that movie. Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, well, let's leave it at that. Yeah, The Thing is perfect.
Yeah, we'll talk about The Thing at some point.
At some point. And then I've been watching the, Archie show, which I think is a little...
Riverdale?
Riverdale. I call it The Archie Show.
No, that's fine. Everybody knows what
it's called. I would recommend it to horror fans because I think it does have a little bit of a tinge. On the outside of it, it's got a little bit of a Twin Peaks vibe to it, very little. It's like a teenage Twin Peaks meets Friday Night Lights meets Archie,
okay,
kind of deal.
Are we gonna get when October rolls around and we get season two of this show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we gonna get an Afterlife with Archie special?
I don't. At first, I thought because of the way they set up the universe, they could go that route. Yeah. But it's almost. He's talked about the showrunner has talked about bringing Sabrina the Teenage Witch in at some point, though.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's neat.
Me too. I think we'll see. I think I almost think they could pull it off, but I was more confident in their abilities too at the beginning because it was so different at the beginning. Now it's kind of settled into kind of being a teen drama.
Okay,
which is good. That part of it's good too.
True.
I do want to mention Skeet Ulrich is turning in the performance of a lifetime.
Yeah,
right now.
He's, screams it's his comeback Skeet Ulrich.
Tour. Yeah, Chill Factor Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah, there it is.
He's going for the Emmy every episode. So
good
he
for
plays
him.
Jughead's dad.
Good for him.
Yeah. Jughead still hasn't eaten a burger, by the way.
That's too bad.
It pumps me out so much.
Does he wear the crown?
He wears kind of like a hat, like a stocking cap that's shaped like a crown, and it kind of flops out. I said, Jughead is the one character that I'm not sure they've completely nailed because he's not very funny either. Jughead was a jokester all the time.
Yeah, he was
now
kind
he's
of the
just
goof.
kind of sarcastic and snotty.
Okay,
he's one of the kids from Big Daddy.
Okay,
remember those kids?
Yeah. Yep.
So, all right, pro wrestling, The Thing, Archie.
What a combo!
We've covered it all. Covered all our bases tonight. Willie, that's not why we're here, though.
No, we're not. We're not here just for those.
We're here to talk.
We have
about
a higher purpose.
We're here to talk about conventions.
We are here to talk about conventions.
Yeah.
You know, mostly horror conventions, but just in general conventions.
Yeah. We decided to do a little bit of a special episode this week.
Yeah. And why did we decide to do that, Tim?
Because we're going to see Motor City Nightmares.
Yeah.
Which is right in our hometown.
Yes.
Of Detroit. Motor City. Yeah. We've gone the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So third year, we decided, hey, let's do an episode where we just talk about conventions and Motor City Nightmares. So that's what we're going to do. I don't think we need a time machine.
No, I don't think
we're going to need one for the first part I got.
Okay.
I want to get warmed up a little bit.
Okay. Do you want to, should I make a sound then? A time machine?
Well, we're going to have to go back to a couple different years here.
Okay.
So like put it in multi-year jump.
Very good.
I pulled up, I found some old ads for the Fangoria Weekend of Horrors conventions.
Kind of the godfather of
horror conventions,
I
would
right?
say so, yeah.
I mean, that's the one I remember as a kid going, oh, I wish I could go to that.
Right, yeah, because they would have the ads and stuff in,
right.
Well, Fangoria.
Right.
You want to hear some of the lineups for some of these?
You know I do.
Yeah. 1985, which is the first one.
Wow, it started back in 85? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, can you even guess who some of these people are?
No, I honestly couldn't even. I know.
One of them was a horror host.
Okay.
I'm trying to not be gender specific. Was it like
Elvira?
Yeah, Elvira was the main. Like,
yeah,
the guest
yeah,
of honor.
Sure.
Yep, so it's Fangoria Weekend of Horrors, a convention for fans of horror, monster, special effects, and movie makeup. We've got such luminaries as Dick Miller.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. Tobe Hooper.
Yep.
Well, Tobe. Toby. Is it Toby?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The Tobes.
I always like him. I always like to call him Tobe. Michael Berryman.
Okay.
Rick Baker. Robert Block, the author of Psycho.
Yeah, wow, that's cool.
We got some special... special panels, it looks like. Makeup demos, of course. 7th Annual Cinemagic Short Film Search Award Ceremony. That's a title and a half.
Wow.
Dealers, Masquerade, Free Gift Surprises. Then a picture of, it looks like a critter from Critters.
Oh, cool.
Right. And a special tribute to low-budget horror movies. This was held November 23rd, 24th at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles.
Nice.
So...
That's a Robert Block is the real standout there.
Right. Well, I would say so.
Yeah.
We're going to jump forward to 1989 now.
Mm.
Looks like the guest of honor at this is, it looks like Robert Englund.
That sounds about
right. Yeah, it's Robert Englund.
Yeah.
Oh, this is when they got involved with Creation Conventions, Creation Entertainment, who does a lot of the Big Wizard World stuff now. So Fangoria is getting the money now in 1989. Blah, 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 blah.
God, that was Englund at like the peak of that too.
89, yeah, he's in like a tux and stuff here.
Oh my God, he's looking so dapper.
He's looking good. we've got Tony Perkins, George Romero, who we'll talk about later, Tom Savini, Tobe, Clive Barker. But now we're talking John Buchler, Dick Miller, and Elvira back. Well, I mean they're out in L.A.
Yeah, and she's an icon of the genre.
Yeah, Elvira's fun. I like Elvira a lot.
And she's got the credibility as a host, you know what I mean? So she could kind of be mistress of ceremonies.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And plus horror fans want to get a picture with Elvira.
Yeah, she's awesome, you know?
She is awesome. 91, they're going to Canada.
Okay.
This is in Toronto.
Toronto, beautiful Toronto.
They've got a dealer's room, a costume contest, film previews, demonstrations, Fright Film Fest surprises. They put quotation marks around certain. You'll see Bruce Evil Dead Campbell, Evil Dead in quotation
marks. Weird.
Just so I would assume that by 1991, most of the people that would read Fangoria or go to a Fangoria convention would know who Bruce Campbell is.
Yeah, that seems kind of strange.
In case he didn't, it gets weirder. Kane Jason Hodder, Tom FX Master Savini, Linnea, Queen Bee Quigley, and Herschel Gordon Lewis, of course. Yeah.
Herschel Gordon Lewis is the one guy that actually has like a nickname. You know that, right? He's like the wizard of like he has a nickname, like a real one. It's like Godfather of Gore or something. I don't know, something like that. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. Well, maybe Linnea Quigley too, but Herschel Gordon Lewis might be the least famous with that crowd that going around
sure.
that time.
Sure.
Of all those people. All right, last one here. We're jumping ahead to 2007.
Oh, wow. Is this the last year?
I think they had one a few years ago.
Okay, yeah, because I know they're not doing them anymore. But
they're not even
doing
a
magazine
anymore. This is quite the lineup. Bill Moseley. This is at the Chicago O'Hare, which I've gone to. Bill Moseley, Jared Padalecki, Shawnee Smith, Doug Bradley, Jeffrey Combs, Sid Haig, who we'll also be talking about later, Ken Forey. Who else are they? Oh, Christian Kane from Angel. Joe Zazzo. Jason Beam. Oh, these are Barricade panel. Okay. I don't really know a lot of these guys. Special guests and previews, Grindhouse, The Hills Have Eyes 2, 28 Weeks Later. Bonus attractions, Creepy Costume Contest, Dessert Party, which is the kind of party I want to be invited to at all times.
Damn straight.
So, yeah, I just wanted to go back.
Fun.
What do you think the best lineup is out of those?
Oh, man. 89 is pretty stellar.
The England?
Yeah. 91 is good, too. 89 or 91?
91 seems to be when they've hit their peak.
Somewhere in there would be the best.
I would like to. I mean, it would be cool to, like, time travel and go to one of those.
It would be cool. Yeah, because, I mean, it's a different time. The other thing that I think we'll talk about briefly is that, you know, conventions have changed so much. They're very much a business now.
Yes.
Which is good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's a double-edged sword, I guess.
They can be pricey. But yep. You know what? There are a lot of cool local vendors. A lot of the
there are, and too. I'm glad that you know, I'm glad that they're able to hopefully get support from or an exposure from being at these conventions. I would hope.
Yeah.
You know, I've met some pretty cool people and some cool dealers and stuff.
Yeah, I've got some cool stuff.
Yeah, some cool artists. Yeah, for sure.
Willie, what do you love about conventions? What is it?
You know,
do you go to them?
You know, at the end of the day, what it is, I could give you the cliche like, oh, it's so you can, you know, it's a day that people with like-minded interests can celebrate together without any judgment or anything. That's not why. Like, it's not. I mean, that's all great. But
yeah.
in reality, for me, it's about there are experiences and things you can say that you've experienced that you would only be able to if you went to a convention.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments in time in my life that I can say happened to me because I went to a convention. And there's no way I would have experienced them otherwise. And sometimes they're really silly little things, but they're generally worth the price of admission for, you know. And we have a couple of those this time around, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's just being able to walk away with that, oh, my God, like, did that really just happen?
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great feeling. Yeah. It's like seeing Jason in line at the ATM.
Yeah, which I saw last year.
Yeah. That, like, just being able to say
that. Or almost bumping into Doug Bradley.
Yeah, it's great.
Knocked over. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
he's a tall man.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a fan, it's great to be able to say say this stuff like, yeah, I almost knocked Doug Bradley over on accident. Like,
right.
I don't know. That's fun to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bumped into Adam West once. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Adam West. We'll talk a little bit about our memories here in a second. I'll do the cliche. I'll say the cliche.
Sure.
I like being around. It's the same reason. The reason I go to conventions is the same reason I go to WrestleMania every year and mm-hmm. like to go to wrestling shows. I do. And it's kind of the same reason I like going to like theme parks too.
Sure.
But I like to be around a lot of people that are there just to have fun and to celebrate what they love. And it's nice. The energy is cool. And it's cool to, as I've gotten older, I guess, and it's good to have a critical mind with things. I think it's good to try to interpret the things you like and think about why you like them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool to just go somewhere and be a fan of things too.
Yeah, no,
just I give in. Yeah.
Totally get that. Yeah.
That's why when I came home, like just the energy from it, I decided to throw in the thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I love it. Like I want to watch the thing right now because it's awesome.
That's awesome.
So I did. So it's that, and it's being around that energy. Now I will say, after a certain amount of time, I do too many people at one place. It's just.
Yeah, and it's not the type of people. It's just
no,
people.
No, it's just people in general.
Yeah.
It's too much. You can't move. But that goes for when I go to big wrestling shows or football games or anything like that. But that's the same reason I like to go to, yeah, sporting events. It's kind of the same deal, is mm-hmm. you want to be there around people. You want to go watch the Lions with Lions fans.
Yeah.
You want to be around that energy. So it's that same thing. And, yeah, along with you, I think it's cool to get out there and especially walk around the floor and do other things than get signatures. Like, yeah, support local artists.
And honestly, those are some of the coolest places to check out when you go to one of these. Is like, whether it's a horror convention or a comic book convention or just a pop culture kind of general thing,
right?
Like some of those like local artists and craftsmen and craftswomen and just like they do amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a mask maker or a painter or whatever, you know what I mean. There's so much cool stuff you can find. Or somebody who makes reborns.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Those are, I mean, some of those are very artistic.
They're absolutely.
Very impressive to look at. So
yeah. There's something, there is really is something for everybody yet.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a horror fan,
mm-hmm.
there will be something for you at a horror convention. Probably
right.
A lot more than one thing, more than likely. But there's at least going to be something where you're like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like,
right.
I wouldn't have seen that otherwise. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And sometimes it could be a little intense too, but
sure. Oh yeah, yeah. There's occasionally. I mean, everybody's got their varying degrees of how much they can take. I think you know what I mean. Because there, believe me, there have been times when I've walked into in the last few years walking into the horror cons where I see a booth and I'm like, whoa, that's a little bit much for me. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It takes a lot, but you know, like there's this really cool. I mean, there's a very interesting table that a couple of years back that had a like canned. Animal like fetuses.
I didn't see that one
like,
this
in, like,
year. I remember what
stuff.
You're talking about.
Though. Yeah, and like, I mean, hey, More power to you.
Right.
For me, I was like, oh, boy, I don't want to look at that. I'm good. Like, I don't want to see these little goat fetuses. Yeah. But some people loved it. So, hey, if you're into it, it's all
good.
Were
they selling those?
Yeah.
I would imagine they had to be.
No, they shoot.
Why would you just buy a table just to go display?
She was selling them, yeah. And she had, like, antler furniture and cool stuff like that, too. Yeah.
See, now the antler furniture, if I had, like, a cabin in the woods like Bray Wyatt. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll buy that Bray Wyatt cabin and get some fetuses.
Fetuses, yeah. You can make
fetuses
your house
plural? Or is it feti?
I don't know. Fetici? All right, moving on.
Like, do you have any favorite con memories other than the animal fetus?
Yes. You know, I don't think I've talked about this on this show. I think I have on a podcast at some point. My first kind of celebrity interaction was at a convention. Oh, well, I mean, kind of.
I think I know where you're going with it. I wouldn't believe it.
It was Kane Hodder. Is that where you thought I was going?
Yeah.
So you've heard this story, yeah. I met Kane Hodder, and I was super psyched about it. My dad said I could get one autograph that day. I could pick whoever I wanted to at the convention to get the autograph. So I'm walking around the tables, and I'm like looking, like, oh, who's that guy? Who's that guy? This is just at a Comic-Con. This wasn't at a horror convention. And I looked over there, and I'm like, Dad, why does that guy have, you know, Jason pictures on his? I'm, like, young. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, 8 years old. Like, why does that guy have Jason pictures? And he goes, because he's Jason. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I lost my mind. I was like, that's Jason. This is the coolest thing I ever heard.
Yeah.
And I went over there, and the guy couldn't have been nicer, honestly. Just super sweet. You know, could tell. I mean, I was a kid, you know, and I could tell he appreciated, like, a little kid. Because, you know, not that he doesn't appreciate his adult fans, too, I'm sure. I'm sure he does. But I think it's different when you have a little kid come up. You know what I mean?
There's
a certain, like, it's almost like they can drop their guard a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I talked to him for a little bit. He joked around with me. You know, he wrote on the picture, he signed, "To Willie, you're next," which I still have it, you know, to this day. And that blew my mind, and it kind of freaked me out a little bit, but I thought it was great. And then he told me, he said, "We're making Freddy versus Jason." Now, this had to be like 94, 95.
Right after Jason Goes to Hell. Probably.
Not long. Yeah, around that time. He said, "We're making Freddy versus Jason." I was like, oh my God, you are? Because I hadn't seen Jason Goes to Hell at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Yeah, we're making it." And he goes, "Guess what? I win." And it kind of turned out to be true. He wasn't in it, but
yeah.
Jason kind of won. So, yeah.
Jason didn't kind of win. Okay.
He won. Yeah, that was pretty definitive in my mind. But yeah, no, that was just cool. I felt like I was like on the inside. I'm like, oh my God, I know who wins.
Yeah.
This movie's not even out yet. Like, so it was really cool. He took the time out to make a kid feel special. It was very, very nice. That was a great one. Just a lot of cool little moments. Things like I remember I helped Linnea Quigley find the women's bathroom one time. Just kind of funny. Like, it's that's one of those things, again, where like, how many people can say that? Like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe a lot, but I don't know. But it was just funny. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I helped Linnea Quigley find the bathroom. It's just funny to me that I can say that in a sentence. gosh. There's a comic book artist I'm a big fan of, David Finch. And first time I met him was great because I was, like, freaking out about it.
Yeah, Finch is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I was freaking out about it. And he did I have three sketches that he did for me, which I love. They're, you know, just in pencil, but they're really cool. He did a Moon Knight sketch the first year I met him, a Captain America sketch the second year, and then I had him do Iron Fist the third year, so I have three of them.
Nice.
That was really cool. I had never been that excited to meet an artist like that before. You know, I'd always been excited to meet actors and all that stuff, but that was a cool experience too. Also a very nice guy. But yeah, and then a couple experiences this year that I...
Yeah.
We'll get into.
Yeah. Yeah. I was there for those.
You were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My turn?
Sure.
Let me rattle some off.
Oh, wait, I missed one.
Go nuts.
Hold on, I'm
go
sorry.
Nuts.
Two more quick.
We're good.
Was with a pal of mine. He's a huge Seinfeld fan. Met the soup Nazi. and that was a lot of fun. He signed a ladle, soup ladle. That was kind of fun. Just to see
who was your friend?
It was Nick.
Was it Nick? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it was Nick. And he signed the ladle. Yeah. I'm blanking. Oh, when I met, I went to a con and you couldn't go and you were pretty bummed. You had something going on. You might have been in Indiana at this point in time.
I believe I was.
And you wanted to go because Michael Jai White was there.
Yes.
And you're a big Michael Jai White fan.
I love Michael Jai White.
Yeah, big fan. Like, not a joke. Like, you're
no,
a
I love Michael Jai White.
Yeah.
Blood and Bone, the movie Blood and Bone, it's like a DTV, like a direct-to-video action movie. It's awesome. Everybody should watch it.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, and I told him that you love Blood and Bone, and he looked at me like I was a psychopath. Of course, that could have been because just before that, he asked what picture I would like to have signed for you. And I picked one where he was essentially in a Speedo.
I have it.
So yeah, I know.
Framed in next to the guest bed.
Yeah. And then he looked at me like, oh, no. Like, yeah. What's going on? Is this going to get weird?
It's this guy who apparently won't get close enough to get a signature, what he's thinking right now. Wants me to sign a shirtless picture.
He looked unnerved. but
like I had some sort of restraining order.
Right. I like to think he has a list. He's like, is that guy on the right? No. But the best part was I said, Michael, look, you know, thanks for your time. Is there one thing you can do for me? Can you just leave a voicemail for my buddy who couldn't make it? He'd get a kick out of it. And so he left you a voicemail.
He did.
I believe he called you a punk bitch at some point.
He called you a punk bitch. It was weird. He was like, your buddy up here, Willie, said you wanted this shirtless picture of me. I thought that was kind of weird, but I did it anyway.
So good.
And then he called me a punk bitch.
Yeah, why aren't you here?
Like, why aren't you here, you punk bitch? And I had it on my phone for the longest time, and then I got a new phone. And
right.
I was super pumped because I don't understand technology, or I'm too lazy to like dump it to a computer, or else I would have, and I'd play it right now because it was amazing. And I was
it was
so
pretty
happy
good.
When he did that.
Yeah. I was happy that he, like, by that point, I was thinking, like, he's probably going to ask me to leave now.
Yeah.
You know, but he went along with it. I think it helped that I had my wife with me.
That, yeah.
Probably wasn't it, yeah. But that was a fun experience. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Tim.
This is the third year we've gone to Motor City Nightmares. How many years has it been around? Is it third or fourth?
I want to say this was the fifth year. I think there were a couple years before I went. It was quite a bit smaller, I think, the first couple of years.
It's gotten bigger each year.
It has gotten bigger each year. I think it's time to expand into a bigger area. First year was the year we went for my bachelor party.
Went to your bachelor party. I showed up because we met there. We met at the convention.
You got there
late.
I think you had other obligations. You had to work.
Yeah, I had to work, and I came right after. And we were kind of sitting there. We were waiting for a couple people, and I'm like, I got to go inside.
And you paid like $30 to walk around for like 15 minutes.
And it was so amazing. And they had this haunted house set up that I will never forget. Because there was a mirror at some point, and it said, oh, I already blew the punchline. But it walked you through the haunted house, and it said, and here's the scariest part of the haunted house. And then there was a mirror pointed back at you. That was the funniest joke of all time.
I remember walking through it with you, and you, like, cackling when I... happened.
Good for them. And then last year, my favorite moment was, there was this gentleman who had this amazing Jason Voorhees costume from Part 7.
Yeah, with the spine coming out the back and stuff.
It was awesome. Like, he did a sweet job. I wish I would have saw him this year. And but he was walking around the convention. It was really funny because he was not really in character. Because, like, he would be kind of bumping into people and then be like, excuse me, sorry, excuse me.
He was basically like Woody Allen in a Jason costume.
But really, really tall. But then I got behind his wife, who was the nicest person of all time. And I talked to her for a little, and she's like, yeah, I mean, like, I'm not really into horror. This is his thing. He has, like, masks under the bed in a drawer. And, like, she pulls them out sometimes and is kind of freaked out by him. But she was at the ATM, and he was just standing behind her. He was, like, nodding the whole time. She was telling the story, like, yeah, bro. Oh, he gave me a fist bump, too.
Did he?
While in line at the ATM. So I was standing behind Jason Voorhees from Part 7 at the ATM while his wife got money out for him to go buy something silly, I imagine.
That's the perfect convention experience right there. That's beautiful.
There was one time I went to one in Chicago, which is a pretty big one. Was the World in Chicago?
Yeah.
And I went Friday and Saturday. I just went by myself because it was in town. And my buddy Joe, who I was living with at the time, I think was working at the time. So I was like, I want to go up there. Like, I want to do it. And I would suggest if you ever have the time to, like, maybe even just go for a couple hours by yourself. It's cool because you could just do what you want to do. You get to go around. On Saturday, I just sat through all the panels. Like, I watched Shatner. And it's fun to watch those panels because you can tell, like, the pros at it. Brent Spiner is awesome.
Yeah.
Brent Spiner can command a room.
Yeah.
Shatner was really funny because they just wanted to ask some Star Trek questions, but he just wanted to talk about, like, some show he had on, like, Destination America or something at the time, some stupid show.
Yeah.
But like James Marsden, James Marster, sorry, I was getting confused.
Mm. Spike from Buffy.
Yeah. And then Adam West and Burt Ward.
Yep.
But there was one moment there where it was during Brent Spiner, Data from Star Trek. They played these like hype up videos for the people before they came out. Played this video. I think I've told you the story, but I love the story. And I haven't told it on here before, but they played this video of, it was clips of Data from Star Trek, The Next Generation, set to River of Dreams by Billy Joel. In the middle of the night. That song?
You never told me this story.
And there was this guy next to me, and he was with his wife, and he was decked out in a Data uniform. And as he was watching the video, like, tears started streaming down his face. And I was, like, mid-20s at the time, and, like, I was a cynical, like, I was a dick, basically. Like, I was just a dick. And I'm still a dick, but I'm less of one now, I think, in my 30s. But, like, in my mid-20s, I'm like, But, like, I looked over, and, like, the first thing that popped into my head was, like, what a dork. What a nerd.
That was a beautiful moment for him.
As I sit there by myself at a Star Trek panel, I'm just judging the guy next to me. What an asshole I am.
I love it.
But then, like, it clicked with me, like, I think later on in the convention or later on that night, like, that's like the sweetest thing I've ever seen in my life. That's so cool. Like, that guy was just moved to tears by a Billy Joel Data mashup. He loves Data that much. Like, I mean, that's awesome.
That's his character.
Like, as I've gotten older, I'm just like, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. It is.
But no, that was
once you become like not too cool for school, kind of, you know, you get out of that. Yeah.
Yep. That was one of the more fun conventions I've ever been to. I walked around. There were a ton of pro wrestlers there. I saw Honky Tonk Man. Like, he had a case of Bud Light.
Nice.
And he was just pouring it, like, sneaking it into a water bottle.
Nice.
And I remember I was walking by with, like, a drink in my hand. Like, Honky Tonk Man, they got alcohol here, buddy.
You don't have to do that, dude. Also, it looks like you're just carrying around a pee bottle now. Right.
But I guess he bought the case. Why let it go to waste?
I guess.
I think that's probably one time. Edward James almost said, "So say we all," to me at one of his things. He goes, "So say we all."
That's like, beautiful.
From Battlestar Galactica, and I'm a huge fan, so like I freaked out. And he kind of looked at me when he said it, too. So I, like,
he looked right at you. Yeah.
Say it to me. I was really hungover.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So, no, those are some of my favorite
those are great.
Memories.
I forgot I got robbed by Virgil one time.
Oh, God. Pro wrestler. Yeah. Pro wrestling superstar Virgil robbed Willie.
Before he became an internet sensation.
What's funny is now tell the story.
Well, no. So I was at the
throw
convention.
Virgil under the bus, please.
I was at the convention, and he'll probably hear this and like
he
tweet
deserves
at
it. I'm fine with it.
All right. I'm walking around the convention, and we're like at that point where we're like getting ready to leave, and we told a buddy of ours that a friend of ours' birthday was coming up, and my wife's like, we really should try and find him something at the convention because there's plenty of stuff he's into to where like should be able to find something, mm-hmm. and we just had a hard time. Finding anything for him, and we're kind of standing in the middle of the aisle of one of the autograph alley type situations. So there's, you know, tables on either side of us, and Virgil's at one, and we're standing there like still trying to come up with a game plan. What are we going to grab before we go for him, you know?
Right.
And I happen to make eye contact with Virgil, and he's like, he like kind of beckons me over, and I'm like, I was like, oh, maybe we can get Will a Virgil autograph, you know, like he likes pro wrestling, and so, you know, Virgil's kind of a funny guy, right?
Yeah.
And I get over there, he's got nothing out except for like a stack of pictures, okay? And he goes, hey man, you want an autograph? And I was like, oh, I was thinking about maybe getting one from my friend. And he goes, oh, what's your friend's name? And I'm like, oh, you know, a casual conversation. I go, oh, his name's Will. He starts signing to Will. And I'm like, holy shit, he just robbed me. Because there's no prices at his table. And what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Say no? I mean, don't get me wrong. If he was like, that'll be $100, I'd say, Virgil, I don't have $100. But like,
this is the kind of stuff that people do to you on the street every once in a while when they're selling their record.
Yeah.
Or like selling one of those pins.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they give it to you and then they're like, oh, that'll be.
Yeah.
And you've already got it in your hand.
Like, no, I don't. Yeah. There'll be nothing.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, my two options here are deny Virgil and perhaps get put through this table.
Yeah.
Or he wouldn't put me through a table. I'd probably just punch me. Or just, like, suck it up. And it was, like, $35.
Because Virgil can name his own price at that point,
I'm like,
too.
He can.
Yeah, because he doesn't have it.
There was
up
no
anywhere.
Sign.
Was he even invited to this convention?
No freaking way. No way. So anyway, that's the time Virgil robbed me. And then it turned out that he does that to a lot of people.
I was gonna say, I saw him in the Detroit airport last year. I think he lives in Toronto, I want to say. Or he was over there, but he was, because the plane came out of Toronto, but I was walking by these guys, and they were just having this conversation, and like it seemed like Virgil was about to pull that kind of move on them.
It was going
to
happen, yeah.
You're literally going to ask him to stay, like, stay with them. but I went, uh-oh. I think I even texted you at the time, like, Virgil's got another mark.
Yeah, I got a grudge match with him. Anyway.
All right, let's talk about Motor City Nightmares.
Yeah.
Our third straight year going.
Yep.
I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, this is a cool year.
I think they do a good job. It's nice. I like the smallness of it because mm-hmm. and I like that they have a lot of local artists there too.
Me too.
And this was the first year I recall this was the most star-studded lineup they had, I think.
Biggest guests, yeah. And biggest list, I think, of guests.
Cuz we had Tom Atkins, Matthew Lillard was there.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I forgetting?
Sid Haig was there. Cheryl Lee was there. Dee Wallace was there.
Savini.
Tom Savini. Dee Snider. Rudy Sarzo,
yes, guitarist.
Guitarist Rudy Sarzo.
And then George Romero.
George Romero was kind of the headline guest of honor,
which is the biggest star they've had.
Yeah, that's the biggest they've had, for sure.
In the horror world, you're not going to get much bigger than that.
No, he's about as big as it gets. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the only ones alongside him would be, Craven's not around anymore, obviously, but Craven and Carpenter. Would be a couple of bigger ones mm-hmm. that you would have been able to, yeah.
So, yeah, but I like that it hasn't been overrun, in a way, that a lot of bigger conventions have.
Yeah, this one feels, they still charge for photo ops. They still... It's a pretty decent entry fee to get in.
Yeah,
$30 is a bit much, mm-hmm. In my opinion, for the size of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it still feels more like it's there for the right reasons. It doesn't feel like it's there to be.
I will say this: it has been $30 each time I've gone.
It has,
And each year I will. They had four screening rooms. I don't remember having that many of like film festivals mm-hmm. and local filmmakers too,
yeah.
which is cool, and. They had a lot more stuff to do, it seemed like, too. And you
they
seemed
more
like
panels
more bang
this year.
More bang for the buck this mm-hmm. year if you pay
No,
more.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the only issues I found with them are, A, I think they need more space now.
I do, too.
My reason for saying that is it's just the sheer number of people that are coming now.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like more people this year than the last couple of years.
It did, didn't it?
It seemed that way. Now, whether or not that's the case, I don't know. I know the first year we went on a Friday, so that's a little different.
Last year we went on a Saturday
yes.
too, and we had no issue parking.
No, and
yeah.
this year we had to park next door.
Yeah.
So I think purely in terms of just the number of people coming, and then I think they need to find another space for. Well, I think they could have more vendors and stuff. To be honest with you, if they had more space,
I think so too.
I think there's other people out there that would love to do stuff at the con mm-hmm. to sell their wares or whatever. The other thing is I love the idea of the panels. Think they're great. They don't have the right setup at that hotel for panels.
That is tough, yeah.
And part of that's just purely a space issue. Part of that's kind of on them. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of round tables.
Yeah, we tried to go to one of the... And we to be fair, we did get there a little late to the George Romero and Friends
panel.
Yeah,
we did.
But
the setup wasn't
great. The seating
great.
Was... Yeah.
Yeah, they could do a better job, I think, of that.
But Tom Atkins was... there at the panel.
Tom Atkins was great because
he was holding court.
Yeah, he just showed up. He was supposed to be at the panel, but he showed up and no one else had come yet. And he's like, well, you guys want to hear a story? Like he just like worked the crowd.
Yeah.
And like 10 minutes into his story, in comes everybody else that's on the panel, like Galen Ross and Scott Reiniger and Tom Savini. And the guy who's moderating the panel is like, Tom, we've been looking for you. And he goes, what? I've been here. I was here early.
There's this one part where Tom Savini busts in and Tom Atkins goes, hey, let me finish the story.
Yeah. No, he was like, we're not starting this panel until I finish my story. And it was about how he met he met a young lady and how he got into acting because of her.
Yeah.
Really funny. God, what an awesome dude.
Tom Atkins is sweet.
Yeah, I've met him before.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, not at a con. I met him at the Mall of America. I think we tweeted a picture quite a ways back of me just, I just randomly bumped into him. It was like the coolest thing in the world. I was like, oh my God, what? But you got to meet him this time.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about some of our favorite moments of this year's con.
Yeah.
I got a, I love Halloween 3. I believe it's, I mean, it's developed a cult following at this point.
It's been, yeah, yeah.
It has. But I was walking around and I saw Tom Atkins was there, and then I saw that there was a Halloween 3 poster that was there, and I go, oh my God, I gotta get Tom Atkins to sign this.
It's more of a Mondo style one, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need to get a frame for it. But it was cool. But we went up and we talked to him for a little bit. He got his he was having his picture taken with the Keymaster and Gozer.
Yeah.
From Ghostbusters as we walked up to him, and he was being hilarious and awesome then.
Once
too.
Again, I can safely say that I took a picture. I snapped a photograph of the Keymaster of Gozer and Tom Atkins together. That's something I would not have been able to say.
Oh, the gatekeeper, yeah gatekeeper and Keymaster.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you know
Vince Clortho.
Vince Clortho, yeah. But he was, so I went up and we talked to him for a little bit. Very funny guy, very nice.
Very funny.
Like the nicest guy ever. And you brought up how you met him in the Mall of America. And he's like, oh, I don't think he remembered meeting you.
No, I don't think he remembered. He remembered going to the Mall of America.
He remembered going to the Mall because he kept talking about how he rode the Snoopy ride like two or three times and then went to a steakhouse.
Which those are all little kid rides. Like, I don't know if you know this, but
maybe
like,
was he there with like a...
No, he was by himself.
Oh, good, yeah. Good.
When I met him, he was by himself. So I love the visual of Tom Atkins.
Yeah.
Hopefully at the front car. I hope he pushed the little kid out of the way to get in the front car. Just his hands in the air, like losing his mind for this.
Have you ever been on that Snoopy ride?
No.
I was on it when I was younger. I don't remember it.
Yeah, they're like tiny little...
Tom Atkins has been on it more recently than I have, so...
Yes.
But, yeah, you show the picture. He's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He remembered going... I was curious to see if he'd remember that, because it's such a random thing, occurrence. But, no, he remembered going to the Mall of America. He's like, oh, yeah, it was back in 2014 or something like that. I'm like, yeah, that was it.
Which is cool. But, yeah, he signed the poster. He said, stop it.
He signed it, stop it. Yeah, a lot
stop
of fun.
It. And sign it. So that's a cool memory. Willie, talk about who you met.
I met George Romero.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, man. Now, this was a... Okay, so I don't know. For those of you old enough to remember, there was an MTV show back when MTV was still semi-watchable. I don't even know what MTV is anymore, is it? Is it? It's just actual like scripted shows now, right?
I think so.
Pretty much? Okay.
I will only watch Scream.
Scream is sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it was back when I was still watching a little bit, and there was a show, and I always forget what it's called, but it was about people that are fans of actors, singers, and it was fan something or other. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
I
it
know
was.
What you're talking about.
And like it was like almost like a it was like Make-A-Wish basically,
it's
but not
bother
for,
me. I'm gonna look it up.
Not for kids who are sick. It was just kids who like would submit videos, and they were like, this person is a huge impact on my life, and I want to meet them. And I usually meet people like Christina Aguilera.
Fanatic,
thank you. They meet like Justin Timberlake or Christina Aguilera, you know, people like that. Occasionally they have an offbeat one that was kind of cool. But usually it was like music people, like modern music people. But I always said like mine would be George Romero.
Yeah.
Like if I had one opportunity to meet one celebrity, just once in my life would be George. And the sad thing is he's done cons in the past, and just every single time he did a con, I had something that was I could not get out of doing it, you know, whether it was a wedding or a funeral or a, every time was something. And obviously you got to have these priorities in life, but that's legitimately a bucket list item for me. And my bucket list is not that long, really. Mm-hmm. So I got to do it. I got to meet George.
Nice.
And you know, and I went into it thinking like I initially thought like I'm going to buy something for George. I'm going to buy him something nice. You know, like I know it's one of his favorite movies, maybe I'll buy him like a piece of memorabilia or something. And then I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like scripting in my head what I want to say to him and stuff, you know, and then, you know, as time kept getting closer, I kind of like halted on that. And by the time I walked up to him, I didn't want to buy anything for him. Cause I'm like, he's busy. He's going to be busy. I'm just going, you know, I don't need to do that. And, by the time it got to going up to him, I was still like in my head, I was thinking, like, what am I going to say to him? Like, I don't know. And actually, I just kind of sat down and I said, hey, thanks for everything, George. Just shook his hand. That was it. And I was like, that's best. That's the best.
No, I think so, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't gush. Don't get, you know. I almost did.
It's weird. But yeah, because I don't know. Because you put yourself in that position. You don't know what you're going to say or what to even say to, like, a hero or
you don't.
Someone you've idolized for that long.
Yeah. And so. Maybe if it was in a different situation where there wasn't a line of people behind me and, you know, the convention situation, which is what it is. If I had just met him, you know, if I was at a bar at an airport and George is there sitting down having a beer, I might walk up to him and chat with him, you know, or something. That might be different, you know, if you were, if it was more bumping into him in like a more of a casual setting, or even they do an after party, which my guess is he probably didn't go to because I don't see him wanting to just hang out with.
Yeah.
But maybe he did. But maybe in a situation like that, I would say, like, I'd be more willing to talk a little bit more. But even then, I don't want to be that guy who's...
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how many times has he heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, you changed my life, George. You know, like, you know. Enough is enough, kid. But no, not that he...
But if he did do that...
He would have been really sweet about it,
yeah.
I'm sure. He was very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Big man. Giant man. Like, tall height-wise.
Yeah.
I knew he was tall, but damn.
Mm-hmm.
Still looks good. I mean, still looks with it, you know? Like, I mean, he's an older fella now, but mm-hmm. he still seems
no,
with
No, he's still
it.
Sharp. He, yeah.
Yep.
He's talking about Bruiser.
He was talking about Bruiser. He saw a girl with a Misfits shirt. And he goes, you know, I made a movie with them, and she had no idea.
I know, she was just wearing the Misfits shirt, yeah.
She doesn't
It was a cool shirt.
She didn't listen to the Misfits. but, yeah, she had no idea. She's like, yeah, Bruiser. I almost thought to say something about Bruiser to him. Like,
yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know how to do that. No, it was really cool. It was really nice.
There was we did see this really cool moment.
Beautiful little moment.
Yeah. With Tom Savini came out of the convention area.
He clearly had a break from signing and stuff.
Signing, and he came up and shook George Romero's hand. You could tell it seemed like the first time they'd seen each other in a while.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, hey, George, how you doing, man?
It was really sweet.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. We were right there for it.
It was so cool.
Yeah, no, just really cool. Really cool experience. Happy I got to meet him. You know, and not that you like to think about it, but he's getting older, you know, mm-hmm. and it. Eventually, he's going to be gone. So that's one of those director-wise that's like, okay, good. I'm good to go. Like, because I don't want to meet John Carpenter. He wouldn't be nice to me.
No, everybody who's met John Carpenter kind of says the same thing.
Like, I love John, but
I do
John
too.
Would not be nice to me.
I do too. And I like to think if I were ever like a famous director, I would be more George Romero.
Yeah.
But the other part of me is like, I get it, John.
No, I get it. I get it. I totally do. I can understand going either way on this one.
But yeah, I'm with you. We saw John Carpenter in concert.
That's enough.
Yeah.
I have his autograph.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't need to meet him to get it, but no, it was a cool experience. Very happy I did it. Speaking of adorable little moments we witnessed, can we talk about Sid Haig?
Are we talking about Sid Haig? Okay. Yeah. This is the other one I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. We witnessed Sid Haig with the world's most adorable tiny little martini glass. Pinky up.
Pinky up.
Just sipping.
Drinking some sort of brown liquid out of it, too.
Delicately sipping.
Some sort of liquor.
Yeah.
It was really very classy.
Yeah.
From Sid. It seems like a classy man.
Yeah. And you know, we've all seen Sid.
I was going to say, I didn't go up and tell him I just watched Devil's Rejects and saw his balls.
Oh, yeah.
That probably would have been weirder than anything.
He probably would have
George Romero. Yeah. Laughed and sipped his martini.
Probably like, what'd you think? Yeah. Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah.
Because it's the last thing you expect to see Sid Haig drinking.
Especially in that. In
it was
that
like
manner.
An Appletini or something.
It was so
what
good.
The hell is going on?
It was so good.
Yeah. Perfect.
Any other moments? There was one moment where these two kids dressed in the Rob Zombie Michael Myers masks.
Mm.
And it reminded me so much of that goofy part in, I think, Halloween 1, where young Michael Myers is wearing the full grown, like, the giant mask.
Yeah, he looks like a bobblehead.
It's way too big. And, like, I pointed. I'm like, Willie.
I know.
It looked exactly like that scene.
It was so good. There were two of them, too. It was great.
Rob would have put that in the Halloween. If he made Halloween 3, there would have been two little Michaels running around.
Yeah.
Other than that, what was your haul like?
Not huge. You know,
yeah,
it's funny. As years go on, you know, I think part of it is you start to be more selective about what you buy. I think
don't
part
have any
of it
room.
Is.
Yeah.
That's another big part of it. It's just I don't, like, I keep buying wall art and I'm going to run out of walls.
Right.
But I got more wall art. No, I got the autograph from George. I had him sign. You know, there's this really cool, kind of fun little photo of him and the crate monster from Creepshow.
Mm-hmm.
Side by side, like both looking like they were laughing, like they're just somebody just told a great joke and they're both laughing together. I almost got that one, but then I saw this classic one from the set of Day of the Dead that I've always loved. It's just kind of him standing like stoically. It's like him and his like prime, like big burly George, you know, and he's just surrounded by zombies.
It's a really cool
and
picture.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what, that's the one because at the end of the day, like I think more than most, I appreciate George's non-zombie work as mm-hmm. well as his zombie work. But, I mean, let's be honest. That's the stuff that's the iconic stuff, mm-hmm. for the most part. So, it was, that's the stuff I always, that I discovered him through, and that's the stuff that stayed with me, so.
Right.
You know, that was good. I also, there's a local artist that, that I've gone to a few times. He does some really cool, Disney horror, well, not just Disney, but like cartoon horror mashups.
I've got a couple of them too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you have like a, it's one with Jason chained to the bottom of the lake from part 7.
Yeah. And Nemo.
And Nemo swimming up. To
him. Yeah, and I've got one. It's a mashup of the kids from Peanuts and Michael Myers, like the Halloween special kids from Peanuts.
Yeah. They're out trick or treating.
Yeah. They're in their costume and stuff. What's that guy's name?
I don't remember his name off the top of my head, actually. Okay. I can, let me see if I can. Oh, I don't have his card on me, but. Nice guy. We'll plug him next time. Episode. We'll say something. Yeah, really cool guy. But yeah, I got a couple new ones. He had a couple ones that he must have done between last year and this year. One was Pocahontas in the canoe, like traveling along the river, and mm-hmm. Jason's popping out of the lake. Child Jason is to pull her in. That one was really good. And then the other one, God. Oh, the other one was Geppetto from Pinocchio.
Yeah,
and he was in his workshop, and he was building Chucky. So those pair well with my. I have a Pumpkinhead one that I'm really proud of.
Which Pumpkinhead one is that?
It's the Charlie Brown kids.
It's Charlie Brown kids with Pumpkinhead. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, and they're like
he's got a basket case one too. It's a Yogi Bear.
He has a basket case one. Yeah, because they have the picnic basket.
I
it's
almost
got
bought that one.
It.
I just I could I there was other stuff I bought. Yeah.
I appreciate the basket case one because it's kind of out there.
It's so weird.
I'm trying to. As we're talking, I'm kind of looking.
Yeah.
If I can pull them up here, but yeah, no. That was it for my haul. I didn't go too nuts this time around.
I was trying to keep a budget too. So.
Yeah, I try not to overdo it now.
I got out a certain amount of money. I got that signature.
Steve Jenks. Yeah, you can check out his art at screamprints.com.
Yeah, they're really cool. He does some other stuff too. He does like original posters and stuff too.
He does some very cool kind of, I will say Mondo style, you mm-hmm. know. They have a similarity to like some of the Tyler Stout stuff that he does for Mondo. But he does a lot of genre work. Very cool. I have a couple. I have a Suspiria one hanging up in my apartment right now that I like quite a bit. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I picked up that signature, from Tom Atkins. Then I, Big Trouble in Little China Pork Chop Express hat from this booth.
Yeah, they good did call.
They did these really cool baby clothes. Like, there's one that was amazing. It was They Live, and it had the alien from They Live, and it says, "I do not obey my parents," and it cracked me up, but I didn't know who to buy it for, and like, I kind of wanted something for myself. So I bought, because those were, I thought, so clever, I bought a hat.
Yeah,
Big Trouble
just to
pork
chopping.
Yeah, just to support them. I bought this, my favorite Planet of the Apes, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. It's an old press book.
That was cool.
There was the battle one was actually cooler because they did like a faux newspaper. Like it's called like the Simeon Times, but Conquest is my favorite, so I bought it.
You had to go with your favorite, dude.
You gotta go with your favorite in that. And then I bought these for my girlfriend. She's been watching Supernatural. She likes it a lot.
Yeah,
I bought these. They're coasters. Is what I remember them being. They're by Artistic Aerosol. They're really cool. They do a lot of cool ones. I bought a Bride of Frankenstein coaster, but I bought my girlfriend Sam Dean and Cass from Supernatural.
Oh, okay, sure.
And they're basically ceramic tiles. And they're ceramic tiles / coasters. But we were talking, and I kind of want to redo the bathroom and put the Winchesters in the bathroom tile and replace the current bathroom tile.
So
it'd be so good. I wanted to do it to like where like I'm posting on Facebook, like big project coming up, and like I'm posting pictures of me in the bathroom.
Like working hard.
Yeah. And then I reveal it and I'm like, oh, check it out. And I reveal
just three tiles.
Just three tiles of people from Supernatural. It'd be so stupid.
I love it.
What a great joke. What a costly, time-consuming joke that would make me laugh for like a couple minutes.
As long as you enjoyed it.
The best kind.
Yep.
So, yeah, thumbs up to Motor City Nightmares, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I'll be back. I'll be back next year.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd love to do one of the bigger ones out of state too. I mean, I'd love to at some point. You know,
that Indiana one has gotten like sweet. That guy must have connections.
Is that Horror Hound?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He's the one that got Jamie Lee Curtis, and then this year he got someone else too that normally.
Well, he almost had Paul Rudd.
He almost had Paul Rudd. Yeah. I don't know who that dude is.
Till the Marvel douches decided.
I know. He almost had Paul Rudd for Curse of Michael Myers reunion, which is the most amazing thing that could
and
ever.
You know,
happen.
Paul Rudd thought that was the funniest thing.
I know.
You know, he was giggling inside.
I was so mad. That was like...
Because we were going.
That was like the Yes.
Like,
are you kidding?
Yeah, if he had been there, we were going to go.
Yeah. That was like a turning point with Marvel for me.
Yeah, I don't like him anymore. I'm mad at him now.
Boycotting.
Yep, because they wouldn't allow him to do this. That's BS.
Yeah, thumbs up. Yeah, I'm with you. I'd like to go check out some of these other ones.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to do one more thing, Willie, on
sure.
the episode, because we promoted it. We're doing okay on time.
All right.
Shorter than normal. I wanted us to put together like our perfect con.
Oh, sure.
Perfect convention.
Okay.
What we'd like to see there, if there's any movies to be playing. Basically, like our own personal con. And
okay.
Listeners, if you want to do this too, feel free to send it in.
Yeah, we'll still talk about them. Yeah.
Will, you got some ideas?
Yeah, well, let's talk. Okay, let me kick things off with vendors. Like yeah. who would I want to buy stuff from there? You got to have a Marvel booth, because I still am a sucker for Marvel stuff. I feel like you got to have I'd want a Nintendo set up somewhere. Mm-hmm. With cool Nintendo stuff, like stuff that you can only get in Japan normally.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And a Capcom one too.
Yeah.
I would want a Hot Toys booth. Hot Toys is a Chinese toy company. And they're fantastic.
They're awesome.
They're absolutely wonderful. They need to do more horror-related stuff. Yeah, just throwing that out there.
They haven't really, have they?
They've done some alien stuff, but
okay.
not much else. A Predator as well. But
okay.
They should be there. Yeah, I want all those guys to be there.
Yeah.
Mondo should have a booth there where you can like buy their art, but that would never happen because it's still limited edition. Scream Factory booth. For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Did you see those steelbooks they came out with today?
No.
The Fog, Escape from New York, one other Carpenter movie that I can't remember.
I think
They Live. Did you buy all of them?
I don't have They Live.
Okay, the steelbooks look sweet. They're limited edition.
Why'd they do that?
Sorry. Buy They Live.
Yeah.
I'll buy the other two.
All right.
I feel like I broke your arm.
God damn it. So yeah, those are just some examples of mm-hmm. people I'd like to see there. Guest wise, I mean, Romero, obviously. I mean, I met him already, but you know, I would want Carpenter to be there just so I could walk up and get an autograph,
right?
You know, I
plus it'd be fun to hold him against his will,
yeah, just really make him mad.
I'd set him up with some video games, maybe some old Lakers tapes,
yeah, put a game on for him. Who else would I, you know what? Bill Paxton,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's sad,
yeah.
He said, "Just Lance Henriksen, another one that I'd like to meet, that I'd want there."
You could do like a Near Dark reunion.
Oh, I'd love it.
Or Aliens, but
yeah, either way, that'd be great. Steve Buscemi, always wanted to meet Steve Buscemi.
Yeah,
so give me Steve. I gotta go. I'd want some of the Marvel folks, because I am such a big Marvel fan. Give me like a Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth combo, like a Thor Cap. You know, combo.
Yeah, just hang out.
Couple of those
fun.
Guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm always reminded of those two, the picture of Chris Evans and Bucky, Sebastian
yeah.
Stan, and those two guys kissing in front of him.
Oh, so good. That picture's so good.
It's the
yeah,
best.
It's wonderful. Their reactions are perfect.
So maybe that's what we could do. We could set up some Marvel characters and have a kissing booth.
Yes, that's perfect. Gosh, who else would I want to... You know, I love it. I like the wonderful Nashville-based rock band, the Proto Men, to play the after party.
Right.
Because they're wonderful, and they can get a crowd hyped like no one else. Yeah, no, I mean, I booze. You got to have some booze there. Mm-hmm. Loosen people up a bit.
Some hams.
Yeah, some hams on tap.
Ham special light.
Let's
oh
go.
Oh, my God.
Hams on tap. I love it. Yeah, hams on tap would be great. What else would I want? You know, I'm trying to think of what I've seen lacking. Got to have a costume contest for sure. That's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, inspire. You know, get the cosplayers inspired to come out in their best. You
right.
know, like the Jason that you saw, at the ATM.
Vince Clortho.
Vince Clortho was great. Yeah, let's get some top notch cosplayers in there. I do, you know, I do like an all day, like if you want to go in at any point during the day and watch like an all day movie marathon,
mm-hmm.
do it.
Right.
And what the movie marathon would be one movie for each guest. So like
Ooh.
They would pick a movie of their own that would screen it. Yeah.
Maybe like their favorites.
Yeah. Like their favorite of their career or whatever, you know, whatever they wanted to do. So like, you know, if Lance Henriksen's like, oh, I want you to play Hellraiser Hellworld. Then you would play Hellraiser Hellworld.
No.
He wouldn't want you to do
Lance,
that.
Sorry, buddy.
He'd want you to play an episode of Millennium, I think. I feel like that's Lance would be like, play Millennium. Please play Millennium. Anyway, I'm still waiting for my Netflix Resurrection of Millennium.
Millennium's sweet.
It's fucking awesome.
Millennium's sweet, yeah.
It's way cooler than X-Files. Anyway, but yeah, no, that would we'd have like that all day kind of movie marathon going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's I'm sure there's plenty of other stuff I could think of, but is there any classic? Oh, you know what? You'd have swag, like just free cool swag everywhere.
Right.
Cool like tote bags and all that good jazz that you like to pick up from. That's stuff that you usually never wind up using and just sits in a closet. I will give me a bunch of that stuff. One year at Motor City Comic Con, it's probably not good because it probably poisoned most of us, but there was an energy drink company there giving out free cans of energy drinks. And they wouldn't keep an eye on who was taking them.
Yeah.
It was Venom energy drinks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I swear to you, I drank at least five or six.
I think
I remember.
Like, didn't you and your wife, you guys scored some too? Like, you guys, did you guys take some back with you?
Yeah, Nikki, like, filled her purse with them.
the amount Nikki had, I remember, was insane.
She had, like, a case. It was absurd, but they didn't care. They were like, yeah, take some more. I think they just wanted to go home. They wanted to run out. Yeah.
Yeah. I've worked stuff like that before.
Yeah. And just want to go.
Yes.
You're not going to shy away from people. Yeah. Anyway, I had drank a lot of Venom. I think my blood was... I had more Venom in my veins than blood at that point. Anyway, so... Yeah, give me some free energy drinks. So I can make it through the weekend.
Yeah. Well, if you think of anything else, let me add. I'm trying to roll through mine here. I've got four screening rooms, so it's obviously not going to go that quick. Four screening rooms. I've divided them up. So, like, the first screening room one, will be movies that I dug, like, pre-high school and elementary and middle school. Like, movies, like, I wore out the tapes of. So, this would be stuff like Space Jam and Independence Day.
Nice.
Ghostbusters. Rocky IV. Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Like, those would just be playing on a loop.
Yeah.
High school years. This is the next. So this would be stuff like Ghostbusters again will be playing. Army of Darkness. Jason Takes Manhattan. Bad Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Like, these would be playing all the time here.
Okay.
Screening Room 3 is, like, my college years. This is when I start to branch out a little. But not really as I look at this. So you get stuff like... Like, Knocked Up. These are movies I watched a ton in college. So, like, Knocked Up, I watched a ton.
Yep.
Slither, I watched all the time. Shaun of the Dead. Once. You remember Once?
Yeah.
The music. I loved that movie.
That's amazing. That Once is screening.
Once is going to be in there. And then Ghostbusters will also be playing. And then Screamer 4, this is like the drinking years, I called it.
Okay.
Because these are movies, like, this is where it's going to be. You go in there, have a drink. These are movies I like to watch when I've had a few.
Okay.
Especially the couple years ago. Streets of Fire, of course. Willie has been
a
part of that.
Yeah. I've experienced, yeah. Yep. It was beautiful.
Friday the 13th, Part 5, which we have both been a part of.
Yes.
Double Team, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman. Greg, my brother and I, Greg.
That's a good drinking movie.
We love that movie so much because it's very bizarre. Dennis Rodman, who is not a basketball player in that movie, he spends the entire movie making basketball puns. Dr. Horrible. Was another drunk go-to. And then Ghostbusters.
Okay, there you go.
Some of my panels. I've got a couple panels here. Since it's kind of a Comic-Con, I'm going to get together the creative team from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures, the Archie comic series the 90s. For those that aren't familiar with the Archie comics, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series, it got very weird. There are parts like Shredder.
It started off as an adaptation of the Fred Wolf cartoon.
Yeah, the old cartoon. Yeah. And then it got really strange. They would go to space. They go to different dimensions. There's a storyline where they fight Hitler's brain. Shredder brought back Hitler's brain.
Of course, why wouldn't he?
There's a panel. It's amazing where Raphael punches Hitler. Which, go there. But there was also, they had this thing towards the end of the run that was called the Forever War, and they built it up for weeks or for months in the back of the comics, and then it never happened. Like, the storyline never happened, and I've researched it, and I can find it nowhere. Like, I've seen some interviews. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the creative team on a panel and just explain to me what their plan was.
They're going to finish the story for you?
Yes. That's. I don't care if anybody else is interested, because they're not going to be interested in my other panels either. This is a panel of people I thought were the coolest when I was 12 years old. We have Anfernee Hardaway, the point guard from the Orlando Magic in the 1990s. Will Smith, Chamber from Generation X.
Oh, like the character's going to be there.
The character's going to be there. It'll probably just be a cutout. Or I will dress someone up in a Chamber outfit. Chamber was cool. For those that know, he's a British gentleman who just was... He was from the comic Generation X, which was an X-Men spinoff.
Uh-huh.
And he was just constantly... His torso was on fire. And he was like a British bloke, and he'd like smoke cigarettes, and he'd have to wear a wrap all the time. I thought he was the coolest. Norm MacDonald, Bret the Hitman Hart, Ahmed Johnson.
Ahmed Johnson.
The lead singer from Blackstreet.
Oh my God.
Behind No Diggity. These will all be people there. That will be a panel.
What a panel.
And what, I'm just gonna get him there and say, hey, you guys talk to each other for a while. And then along the same lines, but you tip me off this, I'm going to say screw Marvel and redo that Curse of Michael Myers panel.
Yeah.
Here.
Do it right.
And then I'm going to do also a Friday the 13th Part 5 reunion panel.
Yeah.
And you're going to be there with me.
The
whole crew. I want the works of Clive Barker, but like the stuff he paints at his house when he has those weird parties.
Mm-hmm.
those sex parties. Todd McFarlane's Blair Witch. This is where he's just selling the Blair Witch.
He's got like cases and cases of his version of the Blair Witch.
Posters from around the world, but mostly Ghana and Poland, because they have the weirdest posters. Those Ghana posters are insane.
They're sweet.
If you haven't seen them, Google Ghana posters. And Poland's are weirdly esoteric and out there.
Yeah.
Bootleg DVDs, but like only like the ones with really bad covers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember there was an Avengers t-shirt for a while that had the guy from Avatar and Batman and Spider-Man
on it. Yeah,
I want that. And then just like a Nintendo booth, like you said.
Yeah, you gotta have a Nintendo booth.
Special guests. This is my last little bit here. Jamie Foxx, because I want him to sign that Electro
head
DVD
that you have. Okay.
Yeah, that I have.
Good.
Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan, because I just want to talk to him. You know what? I kind of want a Pierce Brosnan, Hugh Jackman booth, too.
So would you want to get Connery out of retirement? I mean, you can do anything you want at this point.
No, I just want those two.
Just let him rest.
Let him be. Yeah. I don't care about Daniel Craig. I like him. Timothy Dalton. I want those two, though. They're the silliest bonds to me. Paul D'Angelo from Sleepaway Camp.
Yes.
D'Angelo. Outcast. And then Chuck Austin, former.
Oh, my God.
Chuck Austin wrote Uncanny X-Men in the early 2000s. It's the worst run of any comic book, and I have every single issue.
Oh, my God.
I have to have some value to them. I have to have some reason for having them.
Would you make him sign every single one?
I would have him sit there and sign, because I had to read them. Because I remember the time I got, like, it was back when I still got subscriptions every so often, and I got a subscription to it, and I got it, like, before he got on the title, and it started off good, so I renewed it, and then it just kept getting worse. And for some reason, I kept buying it, too.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It was the closest a comic has ever gotten for me for So Bad It's Good.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give him that much. So that's it.
A great con.
I think we nailed it.
Great con.
We're going to get a lot of people to come to ours.
Yeah,
yours will
sure.
be way better off than mine.
I was a little less selfish maybe than you were, but I would totally go to yours. Your con sounds amazing.
All right.
Just for that panel, if nothing else.
Right.
That's a who's who.
We're going to be back in a couple of weeks with a regular episode.
Yeah, we promise.
We're going to do, what was it, 89, right?
Yes.
We've got Shocker.
Shocker.
Wes Craven Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
Intruder, starring Sam Raimi.
Mm-hmm.
And Pet Sematary. So we got Raimi, Craven, King.
Pretty sweet.
That's quite a lineup.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Shocker Blu-ray right now. I'm holding it in my hands.
Oh, it's so good.
This rendition of Mitch Pileggi on the cover is pretty sweet.
It's Scream Factory Blu-ray. They've got a documentary about the making of the album. It's so good. Like, there's this guy. He's like the producer of the album, and he's like, they ask him, they go through song by song, and like they ask him about a song, he's like, I don't even remember that one.
I love it. I can't wait.
That's your homework, ladies and gents. Shocker, Intruder, Pet Sematary. That's not homework.
No.
That's fun.
No. Take the work out of that.
So we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye, man and woman.